Well, it's always kind of funny. Each of the Christmas masses kind of has its own sort of flavor. And there's the chaos of the three vigil masses last evening, the 4 o'clock, the 5:30, and the 7, and the posadas. There's just kind of the chaos of the masses where there's kids just crying and screaming and, you know, hanging down from the ceiling, it seems like. And it's just kind of fun, you know. And then there's the grandeur, just the majesty of the midnight mass, which I look forward to every year. We had 7 MOAs last night and servers and did it on the high altar. It was, oh my gosh, the whole holy night, just, it's powerful. And then there's also like the stillness of this mass and the quiet, you know, of Christmas Day. And that too is beautiful in its own way. And I think that's kind of where Jesus comes, you know. He comes in the chaos. He comes in the grandeur and the majesty. But he also comes in the silence and in the stillness, you know. And so we thank God, maybe wherever you are in life, some people I know have too much stillness in their life. Some people would give their left arm for a little stillness, you know. Some people have a lot of chaos. Some people miss the chaos. But there's, wherever we are, God comes, you know, and we celebrate that at Christmas. God doesn't just come slowly. He comes running towards us. And that we hear in our gospel today about how this power of glory. I was thinking about my dog because about a week ago we had lessons and carols. Now, if you're not familiar with what that is, I can't say we do it every year because we skipped about 3 years there. But anyway, it's where we hear scriptures from the Old Testament mostly, who are these prophets who are like pointing to the fact that God is going to come. Like God, this state of mess, God is not going to leave it alone. That God is going to come. And they knew he was going to come because every year the year got smaller. And they knew, you know, nowadays that it's 2023, it's about to be 2024, then it'll be 2025. But you know, in the old days, the years got smaller and smaller and smaller. It was the year 322 and then it was the year 321. They knew that something huge was going to happen at year zero. And sure enough, it did. He was born. And all of the prophets are foretelling this. And so anyway, Lessons and Carols is listening to all these prophets, but in between singing hymns and carols and trees and beautiful. I had a very religious experience there. But something kind of funny happened in the middle of our Lessons and Carols last weekend, and that was that my dog, I kept her captive in the sacristy, and she started whining. You know, she doesn't bark much, my dog. She's a very good dog. But you can hear her whining. So I thought, well, the poor thing, you know, I'll let her out into the church. I'm not allowed to do that during Mass, but I could do it during something else. And so I let her out, and she's a very social creature, my dog, you know, Sister Glory. And so she came out, she was talking with everybody and smelling them, you know, and all those things. And then she was kind of out and about, but then after about 10 minutes, she just starts running down the center aisle right down here. And I'm sitting over there, and I thought that she was running to me. But she was running to Antonio next to me. And I said, what has he ever done for you? You know, like, I'm just, what in the world is this about? And my heart, like, kind of sank there because I thought she was coming to me. And I was all, like, excited about that, but she was going right past me. God doesn't go past you, and he doesn't go past me. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, you know, that God, glory, not my dog, but the glory of heaven in Jesus Christ comes rushing to meet us, running to meet us. And that's what the in that window up there you see, the prodigal son above the confessional. There we have the son who went and made a big mess of his life. But then he says, maybe I should go back. And I'll just be a simple servant. And maybe my dad will take me back. But then says the scripture that the father starts to run when he sees him. He starts to run out. He doesn't wait for the broken kid to get back. He goes out to run to him. That's Christmas. Christmas is heaven running to you and to me in all of our places of wherever we are in life, our chaos, our majesty, our stillness, our sight, whatever it is, he comes rushing there. There was a woman who told me something powerful. This was at my first parish assignments in Greenwood, and she was the mother of three teenage boys. And I always thought they were triplets, but there was about a year or two, a year and a half in between them all. And but they kind of looked very similar and nice guys. Well, anyway, one of them fell into some trouble. And it was kind of a sad story, you know, and the police got involved. And you can imagine what a teenage boy can get into. And so he did. And he felt so bad because he was a really good kid. You know, sometimes there are really good people who make really bad decisions. And we just have to recognize the goodness in them. And we've all been places. But anyway, he's telling me, you know, it comes to be Christmas. And the older kid opens up his gift, and it's this nice, really nice leather jacket. And then the next one opens his, and it's a nice, nice jacket, same. And then this kid opens up his, and it's the same thing. And this woman, she said, "My son," he started just crying because, and she said, "I didn't expect that, you know." And she said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "After all that I did last year, I didn't think that I would get the same thing they got." And the mother said, "I could never stop loving you. I could never not love you." And that's the beauty of Christmas, is that Jesus comes into a mess, you know, into a mess of a barn with all the animals and all their yuckiness and all the just it was frigid, it was cold, it was all those things. And the Lord comes to that place, and he doesn't come to a place that's all put together. He comes there. And sometimes I think we feel like, I hear a lot of, you know, a lot of people, and a lot of times people feel like, "I just don't think I'm good enough for God," or "I feel like I'm outside of grace," or "I feel like I'm outside of, I'm just a sinner, I'm just this or that." But the Lord, don't you see? The Lord comes rushing towards us even in all of that. And he comes and he finds us in patterns of addiction, and he says, "Let me be born there so I can unlock those chains," you know? He finds us in places of sorrow, and he says, "Let me be born there to fill that place." He finds us in places of disappointment and failure, and he says, "Come, let me be born there and fix it, because only God can do what God can do." And you see, Jesus, he rushes towards us out of heaven to us, to our own little messy, broken, sinful situations. He comes there. And boy, when you got Jesus there, it's amazing. If you've ever met Jesus Christ, if you've never met him, I just invite you to meet him, because your life will never be the same. If you look at his arms, this is my last point. If you look at his arms in the manger, they're wide open. If you look at his arms on the cross, they're wide open. It's the divine embrace. And God comes rushing to us out of heaven. No matter what we are, he comes with his arms wide open. And that's pretty powerful. Have you ever hugged somebody and they didn't really want to hug you back? You know, sometimes parents of teenagers probably experience such things. And you just want to love on your kid because you love them, you know. But they're like, too cool. And, you know, but like, I feel like a lot of times that can be us with God, you know, that God comes rushing towards us. He just wants to love you and me and all of us. And he embraces us, but like, we're like, eh, yeah. But man, when you embrace somebody back, have you ever embraced somebody and you hugged them so tight because you just love them and they loved you back? And you did like the two people, you're like just so close. And that's the divine embrace that God wants with each and every one of us. Not today, not just today, but every day. And that's the embrace that is. And how can we embrace Jesus better this year is the question for us to take to prayer. For each one of us, myself included, I must pray. How can I embrace Jesus better? How can I better receive his embrace this year? And obviously, the sacraments are number one. The sacraments are number one because of this altar. You know, Bethlehem means house of bread. He's laid in a manger, a feeding trough. He is the bread of life. And we receive him. He receives us at Holy Mass in communion. The two of us become one. There's the divine embrace like you never experienced it before. It's the two becoming one. That's what God wants here and hereafter with each one of us, you know. And so there ought never be a moment that a Catholic would even think about not going to Mass on Sunday. Do you know every day is Christmas for Catholics? You want to know why? It's because we have the incarnate Christ in the tabernacle and on the altar and in our adoration chapel, in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Most Holy Eucharist, which Jesus died on the cross to give us. We have the presence of Jesus here in no less of a way than he was in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Every day is Christmas for a Catholic, and that is a happy thing for us. But you think about confession and the way that this divine embrace is strengthened there. You think about all of the sacraments. Think about our lives of prayer, our lives of charity, our lives of love. That's how we receive the divine embrace and give it back. And this year, I just want to challenge and invite us all to let Jesus embrace you strongly here and embrace him back. Because guess what we're all destined for? What we all are hoping to have one day is the divine embrace eternally in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.